What's your background in filmmaking? What set you off on your path?
Yeah, so not so much filmmaking. I mean, I've been doing social media content on YouTube since 2011. So I've kind of had this trajectory with creating different content out there in the world over the last decade and a bit. But then I started getting some pretty good training. I went to the JMC Academy here in Melbourne, which very much gave me all the tools I really needed to step into the industry. And then through that, it kind of found a group of people that I really connected with. So got a few friends now that we run a little production company together, and we just kind of work on these short films and documentaries.
Yeah, okay. And the documentary we're talking about is Gabriel Lynch, Where I'm Going Next. And you cultivated a friendship with Gabriel, who is a musician. Tell my listeners about how you decided that this was something you wanted to follow.
Yeah, look, I went to this free concert back in, I think it was 2010, where there was a bunch of different Melbourne musicians, buskers, playing this free concert. And I remember very vividly Gabriel walking out and not introducing himself, but playing this first song that I kind of lead off the film with called Jordana. And just immediately connected to what he was saying and what his lyrics were imparting through his life trajectory and telling these stories from his life. And I kind of reached out to him after, I think it was a year or two after seeing that concert, just to get the music out there. So I used it a lot on my YouTube channel and promoted it as much as I could. And we developed this friendship over the next how many ever years. And then when it came time to finally look at doing films and doing stuff like documentaries, I thought it's a really interesting story of just trying to make it in an industry that's very shut off from new people kind of entering it now. And I just thought that was a really interesting story in the music industry to tell.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that because in a way there's sort of a parallel between you as well as Gabrielle, because you're both aiming to create interesting creative work, but the commercial world often is turns its back on pure creativity. And this is what you're really exploring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, the music industry where Gabriel's kind of coming at it from is very, I've kind of just discovered talking to him and researching it as much as I could that it's not just here in Australia. It's really a global thing now where if you're not with the big three or four companies that are controlling who's on the Spotify list, who's on these big public platforms, you're kind of having to build this grassroots audience for yourself. And a lot of the times, there's a lot of artists that just don't find that audience or struggle to find the audience. And it seems in the last two decades or so that the industry's just become so shut off from allowing new artists to emerge. And I'm not saying that, new artists can't really emerge. I mean, there are the rare examples like a Billie Eilish or someone like that who started on SoundCloud and broke through, but it's kind of one in a million now that get that opportunity. Again, that's just an interesting thing that I wanted to kind of hone in on with the documentary.
Yeah, but it's also about how many clicks and all that sort of stuff. And this, what I notice is that because I broadcast on 3CR, we have a lot of musical content that is from local artists. And they are just mind-blowingly interesting and great pieces of work, which would, I mean, it's just as well that people are like Gabrielle because they can't not play music, right? If it was put down to just how many clicks and having a worldwide global audience, then we would really miss out and be impoverished, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it's a strange thing now where I think, I mean, Gabriel and I, the interview that we did was probably like 2.5 hours, and we delved very deep into it, but I just condensed it into about a 10-minute film. But it became a thing when he was taking music to bigger kind of production companies and trying to get through those barriers. It was very much, well, how many followers do you have? How many clicks are you getting on Instagram? Which I don't know why that's become such a big thing for people over the years. When if you look back at the 60s, 70s, 80s, when you had the boom of progressive rock and roll in general, no one was thinking about clicks. No one was thinking about inbuilt audiences. They took a chance on artists because they believed in what they were doing. And it's kind of sad that we've moved away from that.
Gabriel wasn't stymied by that. He went. He decided to take his performances to Southeast Asia. That's a really fascinating trajectory, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a weird thing. I mean, he says it in the documentary as well. He kind of just got to a point. He booked a bunch of shows over there and just found at the time that audiences were a lot more receptive and open and welcoming to original artists. They really were just craving that grassroots kind of thing where they want these artists to be built up. And he says in the documentary, I kind of just got to a point where if I wasn't going to be discovered here in Australia, I'll go somewhere and play where I will be discovered and where people will listen.
Yeah, and he does find his audience, doesn't he, in a whole lot of different countries.
Yeah, he had tremendous success over there. I mean, he moved over there in, gosh, 2013, 2014. And same thing, he just kind of went out, toured, and then landed a job at Maverick Studios, which was one of the big studios over there. So, yeah, it's a very interesting trajectory, and it's very interesting comparatively to the Australian industry, just again, how welcoming they were to new artists that were wanting to explore their own creative roots.
Yeah, and the warmth that's involved
Yeah.
in a direct interaction between the audience, a small audience or a medium-sized audience, and the person who's performing, because he sings his own words. He has an acoustic guitar, but he also often has a trio of people who play with him, right?
Yeah, he just sources local musicians. So even when he's performing here in Melbourne or whether he's over in Southeast Asia, he literally just gathers a bunch of friends around and is very kind of just in that community, knows a lot of people, and is just like, hey, just come and play and have a jam and let's have some fun. So he kind of just attracts all these different artists. And yeah, and it's a very tight-knit community. But again, they were just a lot more welcoming over there.
Very positive film. It's really nice. And I was wondering how Gabriel reacted to the film himself.
I think he was a bit nervous initially, to kind of tell his story. He, you know, since then, and we filmed it back in 2021. Since then, he has moved back to Australia. He's shifted his career a little bit. And is looking at other ventures, still doing music on the side, but yeah, when he initially saw it, he was nervous when we did the interview because he didn't know how it was going to come across, and he didn't want it to be a very, you know, woe is me kind of thing. But I took kind of all the fascinating parts out of that 2.5 hours and tried to tell this uplifting story of just. Success doesn't need to be defined as a million plays on Spotify. It doesn't need to be defined by the amount of followers you have on Instagram. And that's kind of the approach I went into it with.
Well, the film's a very interesting little film, Braden. You must have been happy to have it accepted at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival.
Yeah, definitely been a big honor for it to be there. Two screenings now, which is really nice. So they've just added on a second one for Thursday the 25th of July and then Sunday the 28th. So yeah, very happy with it.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.